Is your agency ready for Agile? Booz Allen uses the frameworks, tools, and training to make Agile work for you. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
It might be the era of cloud computing, but the Defense Department still occasionally buys software on disks in a shrink-wrapped box. And that's what got it into trouble. The paperwork said one disk, one computer, one license. For more on the seemingly retro case, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And Joe, I guess it's not the shrink wrap so much as the fact that the government thought it was buying something it could use many times and could not. Tell us about this case.
Well, this is a situation where the Army bought language translation software from a contractor named Siasoft for use in Afghanistan. Software translated English into Dari or Pashto and did the opposite as well. The Army issued a commercial item contract with the standard commercial item terms and conditions for a single user license. But there was no license in the contract documents themselves. When the software arrived, it had a license inside the box and inside the shrink wrap surrounding each CD-ROM. So, as you mentioned, the software was on CD-ROM. And that license said it was for installation on one computer system only. Subsequently, the contractor learned that the software had been installed on at least 17 computers and maybe more. And so it filed a claim for breach of the license with the contracting officer. When that claim was denied, they appealed it to the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals. The Army defended the case on the grounds that the licensing agreement was not part of the contract, and that was the main issue in the case. Here's a license agreement that was never physically incorporated to the contract, never added by the contract modification. Contracting officer said, I never saw the license. The personnel who did see the license when they unpacked the software, who presumably saw it when the software was unpacked, they weren't contracting officers. So the issue, the legal issue for the board to decide is the license valid and enforceable under those circumstances?
I guess I want to back up and question why this late in 2018, when everything is cloud, everything is as a service, including software, mostly software, even Microsoft has gone to mostly as a service, Adobe, all the vendors. What was the Army thinking buying a single shrink wrap CD and wondering why they couldn't install it on an unlimited number of computers? That was never the case.
That is true. That was never the case. And, this was probably purchased out in the field. And maybe the folks there weren't that up to speed on software purchasing. Maybe they were buying lots of different things. And I suppose, if you have a software of this type, there's not an enormous market for it. So maybe sending the software on CD-ROM is a reasonable way to do it. But in any event, that's what happened. And so the question, the board had is, well, it did this license that wasn't in the contract and the contracting officer never saw it. Was it valid? And the board said, yes, it was. And they went through a very interesting analysis to reach that conclusion. First of all, they said the contract was clearly for a software license. And the shrink wrap license that the contractor sent was the only license that had any connection to the contract. The regulation supported this conclusion because when the government's acquiring commercial computer software, those regulations say it should be acquired under the licenses customarily provided to the public to the extent they're consistent with federal law and otherwise satisfy the government's needs. So this is a context in which the government is used to signing up to a commercial software license, or at least most of it. The contracting officer issued a contract for a software license, but didn't bother putting any license terms in the contract and never asked the contractor what those terms were. And so there was this is a very interesting part of the decision. Under those circumstances, the duty shifts to the contracting officer to inquire about the software license, and the fact that the contracting officer didn't ask the contractor about the license terms was held against the government in this case.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo, a D.C. procurement attorney with the firm Petrillo and Powell. And therefore, I guess, things defaulted to what was in the box in the absence of the contracting officer doing anything else.
Right, right. The board cited law, which I'm sure we're all aware of if we don't actually see it on a day-to-day basis, which says that you can be bound by contract terms and conditions even if you don't bother to read them. So, you know, that was the case here for the government as well. And the board then digressed about the provisions that were added to the FAR about shrink wrap and similar licenses, and we discussed those back in the spring. And this is for commercial software licenses as well. And the board said, well, here they support the contractor because even though they say that certain terms and conditions in such licenses are contrary to federal statutory law and are not enforceable against the government, they don't prohibit such licenses outright. So the board saw that as a kind of tacit acceptance of the fact that, you know, shrink wrap licenses or click-on licenses are customary here in this environment, in this industry, that they're going to be enforceable to the extent that they're not inconsistent with federal law.
And nowadays, contractors have means of knowing how many processors and machines you've installed it on because the machines are all on the internet and they report back.
Yes, whenever that's the case, the contractor's in a position to monitor the use of the software.
And what did the government have to do then as a result of this decision in favor of the contractor?
Well, like many board decisions, this only went to the contractor's entitlement to recover damages, did not actually assess the amount of the damages. That's been remanded to the parties for them to negotiate. And so the contractor obviously will, having had a determination that its software was installed on 17 machines instead of one, I guess it can recover for the value of 16 licenses.
And by the way, this wasn't a $29 software package, was it?
No. A single license cost $8,800 here. And the government is going to be liable for, it looks like, 16 more licenses.
Yeah, so at that level, it's more than just a micro purchase even. So they might have to maybe negotiate something starting from scratch, I would think.
Well, these are negotiations about how much the contractor recovers over the in response to this case by the Armed Services Board. So it's a little bit different from an actual buy.
But one way or another, the government is out tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, possibly, as opposed to just close to 10,000.
Absolutely.
All right. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.